It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
It was 1 o'clock in the morning, 1 hour after Christmas was officially over, that Newman police officer Ronel Ron Singh stopped 33-year-old Gustavo Perez Arriaga on suspicion of driving under the influence. Seconds later, Officer Singh called shot fired over the police radio. Minutes later, his colleagues found him mortally wounded. Arriaga, an illegal immigrant and known gang member, was on the run for 2 days before being captured as he tried to flee back to Mexico. Seven other suspects were arrested for helping him evade capture. Six of them were also in the U.S. illegally. But Perez Arriaga had been arrested for drunk driving in 2011 and again in 2014. But under California's sanctuary policies, Immigration and Customs Enforcement were not notified of those arrests, and Arriaga stayed in the U.S. Several California sheriffs blamed the state's sanctuary law for Officer Singh's death. But former California Governor Jerry Brown is pushing back, saying the law did not take effect until 2018. What Brown fails to mention is that in 2013, he also signed the Trust Act, a precursor to the sanctuary law, which also prevented local law enforcement from cooperating with immigration agents. And as far back as 2012, then California Attorney General and potential 2020 presidential candidate Kamala Harris sent a letter to police agencies saying in part, quote, several local law enforcement agencies appear to treat immigration detainers, sometimes called ICE holds, as mandatory orders, but immigration detainers are not compulsory. Instead, they are merely requests. Bottom line, California counties have been ignoring ICE detainers for years. Also, it's unclear if Perez Arriaga will face the death penalty.
Okay, that was Trace Gallagher on Martha McCallum last night, giving sort of a detailed report on the murder of Officer Ron Singh. I wanted to start with that today because I want to restate the problem. We have a serious problem. You know, it's been several years now since Kate Steinle was murdered by an illegal immigrant in broad daylight in San Francisco. And of course, we could go on and on with the names and the people that I've interviewed that you've heard me interview who have lost their loved ones. It is just tragic. If for that reason alone, we needed to close the southern border, we need to close it. And so it continues, and I want to update you today. Meanwhile, the leftist media have their own response. Daily Caller did a little piece, and here it is.
We cannot protect the border with concrete.
I live along the border, and about a little over 10 miles from the border. It's San Diego. I mean, it's basically paradise.
When you look at this speech, it's the definition of being disingenuous.
Hear that speech. What a powerful argument it makes against the theory of evolution. As we look at the continuing debasement of the office of the presidency of the United States.
But last night, he converted no one. Last night, he made himself look even more inept.
We saw a reckless president morph into a feckless presidency.
And this entire process, by the way, feels like a colossal waste of time so he can deliver on a chant he began 3 years ago at some of his rallies.
Mainly, though, the president's speech was a litany of scare stories about immigrants being terrible criminals who are coming into the United States to rape and murder Americans, essentially in the president's telling.
All right, and it goes on and on. It goes on and on. I can't even play all of it, but you get the idea. Silly, ridiculous. Nobody believes the president. He debased himself. Well, I don't think the American people actually feel that way. A poll by Politico showed 79% of Americans think the border is in crisis or at least a problem. Only 12% of the people they polled said the situation at the border is neither a crisis nor a problem. I think the American people see this very clearly. And I want, there's just so much to tell you this morning, as there always is. So fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Politico, who is a leftist publication based in Washington, D.C., I would say for Politico, generally speaking, they are careful about telling the truth. It's just that they might not tell you everything, and they certainly have a spin, and their spin is a leftist spin. Okay, so here's an interesting article from them, and it's titled "Freshman Dems Feeling the Heat as Shutdown Drags On." Now, you may have the impression that the president is the one feeling the heat. He's the one who owned this shutdown, and the Democrats like to tell you that they're complaining about the paychecks that are due workers tomorrow in the 25% of the government that's shut down. They won't receive them. And that's certainly a serious personal problem for those people that are not going to get their checks tomorrow. But I would just like to say that most of those workers, certainly based around, they're not all based in D.C., but many of them are. Many of them are Democrats scattered around the country. A lot of federal workers, an inordinate amount of them, not all of them, many of you that I'm speaking to, maybe federal workers, including my husband, I started to say former husband, but my husband, who's a former FBI agent, was a federal worker. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I would say that the vast majority, certainly of the support staff and everything in the government, are usually Democrats. So the Democrats are feeling the heat. And this article is really interesting. I'll read part of it. Freshman House Democrats are ready to shut down the shutdown. The new class of 60-plus members has been in Congress for less than a week, only to see the partial government shutdown consume the Capitol and grind nearly everything to a halt, including action on their campaign promises to overhaul Washington and deliver for voters back home. This is really interesting. I'm going to give you this quote, then I'll tell you who said it. If I am getting comments and contact from my constituents expressing concerns that the Democrats are not prioritizing security, then I think we can do better, said freshman Representative Abigail Spanberger, an out-out leftist who beat Dave Brat and I think what was a very dishonest race. Okay, so now she's squealing that she's getting some pressure. She's not the only one. There's page after page of this. Let me read this. Most Democrats argue that they have the political advantage, pointing to polling that shows the public mostly blames Trump for the shutdown and that a number of Republican lawmakers are now publicly calling to reopen the government. Talk Democrats predict as many as a dozen GOP lawmakers will cross the aisle and support their piecemeal government funding bills designed to ratchet up pressure on Senate leaders to act, which, you know, I'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so that's one of the prognostications. But the bottom line of this article is, honestly, it seems to be, for instance, Representative Lucy McBeth, Democrat of Georgia, said several lawmakers couldn't attend because they were in their districts dealing with the shutdown fallout. Okay, so it's not what you think it is, and I think the president understands that. Actually, I think as this shakes out, it's going to be to his advantage, because I think the American people are putting pressure on their reps, and that's where you come in. The president is resolved to secure the southern border. He is. You know he's resolved because yesterday there was a meeting in the Situation Room with Democratic leaders, and it didn't last very long. There are two sides to this story. I find it very interesting. Let's listen to clip 7.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the president just got up and walked out. He asked Speaker Pelosi, "Will you agree to my wall?" She said no. And he just got up and said, "Then we have nothing to discuss," and he just walked out. Again, we saw a temper tantrum, because he couldn't get his way, and he just walked out of the meeting. I asked him to open up the government, that tomorrow so many people will have trouble paying their mortgages, paying their bills, dealing with situations when they don't get paid. And I said, just why won't you do that? We'll continue to discuss. We're willing to discuss anything. And he said, if I open up the government, you won't do what I want. That's cruel. That's callous. And that's using millions of innocent people as sort of pawns. And it was wrong. And then a few minutes later, he sort of slammed the table And when Leader Pelosi said she didn't agree with the wall, he just walked out and said, we have nothing to discuss.
So Chuck Schumer, who's such a reasonable, nice guy, says the president had a temper tantrum. He slammed the table. That was cruel and callous. He's just using people as pawns, says the nice Senator Chuck Schumer. Kevin McCarthy spoke next. Let's listen.
I want to turn the floor over, the president said, to Speaker Pelosi and Schumer. Tell us what offer you have, because we all had in our hands from the weekend's work of the vice president, and every office had staff there, about where we were, the different offers, the increases of the work that you've done to secure this border. So we turned to Speaker Pelosi. She began to argue whether we even have a crisis or whether facts are true. Turned to Schumer again, who said, we just have to open the government up. The president would go back and forth in a negotiation in a very respectful way. I saw Schumer continue to raise his voice. The president then turned to the speaker and politely asked her, okay, Nancy, if we open the government up in 30 days, could we have border security? She raised her hand and said, no, not at all. The president calmly said, I guess you're still not wanting to deal with the problem.
You know, interesting. So that's Kevin McCarthy, Leader McCarthy, the minority leader in the House, giving his take on what happened in that meeting. I'm going to play another one of those in just a second. I want to interject that all of those, that list of things that I shared with you, a letter from Russ Vought, which went out to the Democratic leaders the first part of this week, laying out what the president was willing to do. Now it turns out that the president had folded in many of the Democratic requests in his offer. Among them was humanitarian help at the border. It was a steel structure instead of a concrete wall. Lots of different things, which are itemized in a Breitbart article, which we'll put on our Facebook page. It's Democrats Pocket Trump Concessions in Border Wall Talks. Expanded technology. He gave all of those things. He gave many of those things that they had requested, but you hear nothing about that. So they go into that meeting, and you heard both sides of the story. The president's, had a tantrum. He slammed his hand on the table. All right, so here's Chuck Schumer speaking about it, and then Mike Pence responding. Let's listen, clip 9.
Well, unfortunately, the president just got up and walked out. He asked Speaker Pelosi, will you agree to my wall? She said no. And he just got up and said, then we have nothing to discuss, and he just walked out.
He left the room today because Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that even if he gave her what she wanted, she would never agree to the border security priorities that we have on the table.
Yeah, so, and there's more to the story, so you choose who you want to believe. By the way, we saw that, I laughed yesterday, and I'll laugh again today. The appearance of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and the response to the president's message two nights ago was really funny. I told you it reminded me of American Gothic. Just needed the pitchfork. You've got the farmer and his wife standing there scowling. Other people on social media thought they looked like angry parents, so there was a takeoff on that. People going wild about that. James Carville had his own spin on it. Let's listen. Clip 6.
Tell me why responses are so bad tonight. This Chuck and Nancy visual tonight launched 1,000 memes while they were still talking.
Yeah, I don't think they should have done it. And I guarantee you at the staff meeting tomorrow morning, somebody is going to get, chewed out pretty good about this whole thing. The only good thing about it, it didn't matter. They could have given a Gettysburg Address and it wouldn't have mattered. He didn't want to be. I've been more excited about colonoscopies than he was in giving his speech tonight. He didn't want to be there.
Ah, James Gunn. James Carville, my old foe, which is a long story. But even James is laughing at them. It really was pathetic, and I don't think they convinced people. I just don't. There's more to tell you, and I'm going to tell you that. I guess before I take this break, though, I want to say that we can still prevail in this, meaning the American people can get border security. You need to call your congressman and tell them to support the president on border security. You have 2 senators and 1 congressman, so let's make those calls. Be right back.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today. Penn State University will no longer allow students to hike, backpack, or frolic in the woods. The university's pulling the plug on the 98-year-old Outing Club. Penn State says the student-led organization was engaged in what they call risky behavior. And by risky, they're talking about canoeing and kayaking, camping. They also pulled the plug on the scuba diving club and caving club. A university spokesperson says they made the decision to deep-six the clubs after conducting a proactive risk assessment. Now, you might be wondering, what makes hiking and camping so dangerous? Well, the university says in most cases, students go hiking and camping in the forest, where cell phone service is limited. And in some cases, they're too far from the hospital. I mean, heaven forbid a kid comes down with the case of poison ivy or gets a boo-boo. These colleges are turning our kids into snowflakes, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
He asked Speaker Pelosi that if he opened things up quickly, if he reopened the government quickly, would she be willing to agree to funding for a wall or a barrier on the southern border? And when she said no, the president said goodbye.
Again, we saw a temper tantrum. He sort of slammed the table.
Well, the president walked into the room and passed out candy. I don't recall him ever raising his voice or slamming his hand.
All right, so there you go. You decide who you want to believe. I kind of know who I believe. And before I took the break, I asked hurriedly that you call your congressman. Now, if you have a congressman that's part of the Freedom Caucus, you don't need to call them. But don't think you don't need to call Republicans, because they must have their accountability called to on this. And I'm going to get into that. I probably could say again to you that they have been the worst underminers of the security on our border. Not as bad as the Democrats, but bad. I guess it's all on a scale. They're not all bad, but many of them are bad. Kevin McCarthy, who now is the minority leader, did precious little. Oh, he made noise about it when he was trying to run for speaker. But honestly, he's done nothing with Paul Ryan's leadership. They did nothing. And so Republicans need to hear from you as much as Democrats do to hold firm. And if you, this is a great resource for you. There's a website called borderfacts.com. Borderfacts.com. It's got excellent stuff in it and excellent resources. It's probably a good idea to memorize two or three of the stats so that when you're talking to your friends, you actually can present some statistics. But that is a great resource, and we'll put that reference on our Facebook page. So many things that I want to tell you. So let me just jump in here. I mentioned Republican leaders. This is an article by George Rasley, but a conservative HQ. It's called The Wall and the Shameful Silence of GOP Leaders. And we'll put that on our Facebook page. George says, in part, why shouldn't Democrats think they can win? For the past 2 years, the GOP's congressional leaders hid whenever the subject of a wall came up and stalled around anything, avoiding any showdown with the Democrats over the wall. And let's not forget that last year, in what could be termed a slap in the face to the president and the millions of people who voted Republican because Trump promised to secure the southern border, the Republican congressional majority passed a spending bill that expressly prohibited the wall that we voted for. All right, there's a lot more to that story. He names names. He talks about Kevin McCarthy. He talks about Richard Shelby, who has made no silence about the fact that he thinks it's terrible that there's a shutdown, and wringing his hands, as the senators always do. And then we have Senator Shelby. We get Joni Ernst. We have Cory Gardner, Susan Collins, and Capito, can't think of her first name, from West Virginia, all, you know, wanting to cave. We have 84% of Republicans supporting Trump's refusal to accept a funding bill that does not include more than $5 billion for enhancing security operations. Nevertheless, we see this lack of activity on the part of Republicans. We are hearing now, I'm telling you, that because of briefings that I was in yesterday, there are some things that we know about this. There are certainly Republicans in the House also ready to cave. What the Democrats are trying to do is pass, now peel off little pieces of spending of the spending bill that would fund various parts of the government. If they can pass all these individual spending bills in small pieces, they can do that, fund the government without building the border wall. That's the plan. So you'd say to yourself, well, that's not a very good plan, is it? And the president has to sign off on such a bill, and the Senate has to pass it too. But even before that, we have eight Republicans who have voted with the Democrats, undermining the president and the funding for the border security. I want to tell you who they are, because you just might want to call them. Washington Representative Jamie Herrera, Herrera Butler, Pennsylvania Representative Brian Fitzpatrick, Texas Representative Will Hurd, New York Representative John Katko, Illinois Representative Adam Kinzinger, New York Representative Elise Stefanik, Michigan Representative Fred Upton, and Oregon Representative Greg Walden. All of them, this is not new for them. They're probably the remaining few never-Trumpers, I would say. Look, I can't say that every one of those are never-Trumpers, but several of them are. There's nothing they wouldn't do to undermine what you and I want, what's in the best interest of the country. So meanwhile, Mark Meadows is leading the charge on this effort to get temporary workers who are not going to be paid tomorrow unless something miraculous happens today, paid anyway, and that would, as I understand it, it would be through using their retirement accounts, drawing from their retirement accounts without penalty until this thing is established. And so that's what they're proposing as an alternative, which sounds like a good one to me. So there's some, as you know, really fine Republicans. I wish I could say the same of the Democrats, but I can't think of any fine Democrats right now. There's some fine Republicans doing what they can. I also want to tell you, though, here's the reality. Here's the reality. Another reality. We have Lindsey Graham, who he's not called Grahamnesty for nothing. He has been trying to get amnesty for illegal immigrants for decades, it seems to me now. Terrible on this issue, now taking leadership in the Senate in a new way, head of the Judiciary Committee. So he's in the process of negotiating with Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law. And what are they negotiating? In spite of the fact that the Democrats are feeling the heat with their constituents. I just showed you that, or told you the article in Politico about the freshmen who are feeling the squeeze because people are complaining, and the caucus is divided on this. The new members are not down with what the leadership is doing. So they have more of a divide than the Republicans do. The Republicans are in a win-win situation, but that doesn't mean the proper things are going to be won. So here is a tweet from Mickey Kouse. Sounds like a terrible deal. Republican senators are privately planning to court Democratic senators on an immigration deal that would give President Trump money for his border wall and include several measures sought by Democrats. So that would be like straight DACA, also TPS thrown in, H2B modifications, which means bringing in foreign workers to do American jobs. There's a lot more to it, but let me just tell you that lots of things are being dealt with. And so what they're doing is they're negotiating when they don't have to. They're already giving away the store when they don't have to give away the store. So that is the next battle we have to fight. And trust me, I'll be following that and tell you what's happening on that count. But just be aware that there are a lot of, including Lindsey Graham and his president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who are more than willing to give the Democrats lots of good stuff because they want it too. Wouldn't that be great? This is my chance, says Senator Graham, to get those things done that I've always wanted to do, and in the process help, quote unquote, the president. So that's what's happening. And you can imagine, and you have to know, that the really fine people in D.C. who are working on behalf of the American people are fighting this morning to night, pillar to post. I know that they are. I can tell you that they are. So our part in this is to express to our congressmen and our senators that we expect them to secure the border. And we want them to, God willing, President Trump will come up with a good proposal. We'll ignore his son-in-law and Lindsey Graham. That's something that you can't help right now. So just don't split it off right now. Let's just say we need to support the president on border security. We've gotten a lot of interesting email and Facebook from you, and I'm going to open the phone lines and talk to you in a second. Our phone number is 888, by the way, 589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is going to be a smattering of bits of information, okay? Heifel-Bloom was on the Equal Opportunity Commission. She is a radical leftist, the most anti-Christian, pro any kind of LGBT rights, and she's done a ton of damage. And Mike Lee has blocked her from her renomination on that board, and finally, we had victory. You have to know that the American Family Association has been all over this, asking you to call your congressman to stop this nomination, and we were able to do that. So thank you. See, we can do a lot when we put our minds to it. We really can still have an effect, and for that I'm very grateful. I'm sure you are too. This is from Aaron. This is so thoughtful. I have to share it with you. He said, I've been reading criticisms of Christians who support Trump, criticisms citing Trump's past conduct and his current campaign against those who oppose him. But I've come to the following conclusion from a quote in an Eric Metaxas book on Bonhoeffer, who quoted General Hans Oster, head of German military intelligence. And he's referring to the coup that Dietrich Bonhoeffer participated in to kill Hitler, because there didn't seem to be any other way to stop what was happening. So this is a quote from General Hans Oster, as reported in Eric Metaxas' book on Bonhoeffer, which was a great book, by the way. He said, we face an ideology of such sinister immorality that traditional values and loyalties no longer apply. I'll read it again. We face an ideology of such sinister immorality that traditional values and loyalties no longer apply. And what Aaron is saying, and I think he's right, I think that's a good correlation, is I think what most of us see is that what we are fighting is so sinister that we don't look to the man's moral behavior the way we would normally look. I do think there would be limits to that. I don't think that's a blanket statement. It's not a blanket statement on my part. It doesn't mean anything or everything goes. But I have to say that in the light of the dangers we face, I think that's why many people are supporting Trump. We're trying to save the country. And we feel he's the only person who actually seems to want to do that with us. So thank you, Aaron, for that reminder. That was great. This is from Linda. She says, I'm one of those government workers who has to work and is not getting paid. It's always been unfair that the non-essential government workers get to stay home, save all the expenses of getting to work every day, and then in the end, they also get paid. Essentially, it's a paid vacation that we don't get. Or they can at least take another job and earn some money, and we cannot. On top of that, we are forced to take out loans at high interest to pay for living expenses and then get higher taxes taken out of the lump sum back. I work in a hospital under DHHS that did not get funded, while 60% of the DHHS did get funded. I don't get the politics of not funding a whole healthcare department. I don't either. I wish I could explain it, Linda. It's just bureaucracy. When government gets too big, foolish things happen. That's why it needs to be small and needs to be controlled locally. But I digress, like I always say. She goes on to say, that being said, I do support the president and the funding of the wall. I'm just so sad that there are still so many stupid people who are using our situation to trash the president. We need a list of the $10 billion or more wasteful spending that goes on year after year to put out to the stupid people to let them know that they prefer to pay for these bills, but not border security. And she just has very nice things to say. She listens all the time. Linda, thank you. And we are compassionate. I can't imagine not getting a paycheck, you know, working so hard. Most people don't have 3 months' savings like the financial planners suggest, and it is a hardship. That's why I'm hoping that, you know, Mark Meadows' proposal to let federal workers dip into their savings without penalty to help protect them during this time and help the kind of a bridge loan to themselves during this time will be passed and will be a relief to people like you. This is from Carolyn, who brings to me another story of a Lafayette man, Lafayette, Louisiana, accused of killing two people, and he is also an illegal immigrant. And this is a story that has not made national news, but just yet one more story. This is from Dawn. She said, I spent some time last evening talking to a law officer friend. He's not an ICE agent or Border Patrol, just a regular officer on the local SWAT. The stories he tells of drug cartels and M16 gangs in our area is disturbing. Our area is at least 200 miles from the border, yet they are here. In one remote poor area of this county, 33,000 acres have been bought by Mexicans and is being developed, but they only sell land to Mexicans. We do have a border crisis. We are north of Houston, and the sex trafficking is out of control and much of it run by Mexican nationals. They go in and out of our country with ease. And she suggests we fund the border wall, and you can't do that on GoFundMe. I last count, and this has been several days, was $18 million that have been raised. So, you know, that's one way to do something. But do that, but don't fail to call your congressman, because really we have to settle this in Congress, don't we? We just have to. This is from Nola. This is a different subject. She said, I just watched the movie 13 Hours, The Lost Soldiers of Benghazi. It was the most difficult movie I've ever watched because I kept hearing all of the things you revealed to your radio audience about the lies and deceit surrounding this tragic episode. I was sobbing by the end of the movie and felt such anger and dismay, and finally I better understood why you lamented over this whole affair the way you did. I wish every American had to watch that movie with a follow-up about the truth behind why all those people died and who was responsible for it. I just kept thinking, why is Hillary Clinton not in prison? And Nola, thanks for just bringing that back to our attention. It was a tragedy. There's been no justice on that. And if you want to know, I'm not going to go off on a tangent on that this morning, but 13 Hours, The Lost Soldiers of Benghazi, watch it, and you will understand, as Nola did, why I was so upset about it. This is a great thing sent to me by, I don't know his real name, I can't remember, but he writes, he's been listening for years, M. And he sends this picture of this elderly black woman in a beautiful little dress with her purse on her right arm. The president is standing at a podium speaking, and she is behind him with her head rested on his arm and with her left arm holding his hand. And he's holding her hand as he's speaking. And she's got the most beautiful look on her face. It looks like she's praying. It's just an incredible picture. It's on our Facebook page. If you haven't seen it, you have to go there and see it. Okay, to the phones next, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning.
So have no fear of them. for nothing is covered that will not be revealed. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Jill Abramson, the former executive editor of the New York Times, argues in a new book that her former employer abandoned journalistic objectivity concerning the Trump White House and cashed in along the way. She explained the Times' readers are largely liberal, and the paper became unmistakably anti-Trump for profit. With a barrage of negative Trump stories, the Times drove huge traffic to its publication, and despite the blip of cancellations following the 2016 election, it enjoyed inflated subscription orders to levels no one anticipated. It was never about the news. It was about regressivism and money.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The American Psychological Association says that biblical masculinity is a form of mental illness. The APA has issued a set of guidelines based on the premise that traditional masculinity is harmful. By traditional masculinity, they mean qualities such as stoicism, the ability to face adversity without collapsing, competitiveness, which is one of the main drivers of career success, dominance and aggression, which are traits that enabled American men to achieve independence, free the slaves, and turn back the Nazi menace. The APA is part of the dark crusade to utterly feminize men. But as I explain in my book for fathers, The Boy to Man book, biblical masculinity means using masculine strength to stand for the truth, protect the weak, and to provide for and lead our families. Maybe it's the people who think this is toxic who are the ones with a mental disorder.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's Word and how He speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump heads to McAllen, Texas today to meet with Border Patrol and other government officials struggling to secure our porous border with Mexico. While he is tamping down expectations for the trip, it's likely to showcase the significant contribution an effective barrier can make to their success in protecting the rest of us. Meantime, the president is being encouraged to accept a deal to get something in the way of funding for the wall in exchange for an amnesty for some who have come here illegally. In particular, Senator Lindsey Graham is proposing legalization and a path to citizenship for so-called DACA kids and those who were previously given what's known as temporary protected status, even though they immigrated unlawfully. Doing so would amount to a magnet for more illegal immigration before the border is secure. And a grave mistake. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
You know, I can't get over that picture that that my friend M sent. I'm sorry, M, that I can't remember your first name, but I don't want to say the last name because I just don't like to do that. But it's this picture. I'm going to say it again. We're going to repost it on our Facebook page. This beautiful, elderly black woman with this gorgeous countenance. She looks so sweet, like she truly is just praying and at peace, and she is leaning on the back of the president as he stands at the podium speaking like he always does. Imagine him standing there with his arm up, and she is like hugging him, and with her left hand, she's holding his hand as he's talking. and she's got her head against the back of his arm with her eyes closed praying. It's just, it is a beautiful picture, honestly. It is. It just is so inspiring. And speaking of inspiration, we are in day four of our partnership with Preborn. And Preborn, as you know, is an evangelical, biblically-based attempt to save babies that are in the womb, in their mother's womb. And they work with crisis pregnancy centers around the world, around the country. And in this particular fundraiser, we're helping them provide sonograms or ultrasounds for these expectant moms, whether they're teenagers or moms or whatever they are, as 80% of women who see the image of their baby while they're still in the womb choose to keep their babies. It's just, isn't that something? So honestly, the percentage of babies that you would save by making a donation is pretty high, and Preborn will follow up with you and let you know the babies that you've saved and kind of I'll let you know their name. I think their names. Anyway, we'll give you the incidences, and you can actually know specifically about the people that you've helped and the babies you've saved. I think that's a pretty generous offer, because it can't be easy to track that. If you can provide $28, you can save one baby, I would think. Now, I know I'm not saying that quite. You can provide one ultrasound, and there's a good chance that mom will choose to keep the baby. That's the way that goes. And if you can afford $140, it will be 5 free ultrasound sessions, 5 women. So you do the math, 80% of those, and maybe even 100, God willing. So the phone number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can donate online to AFR.net. That's AFR.net. Okay, let's go to the phones. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to David. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. Thank you for all you're doing, especially the stands you take. I'm a retired military guy, still working as a civilian for the government. But the Fox, what I want to talk to you about was the Fox News coverage in between when the president spoke and when Pelosi spoke. What was truly shameful, and Shepard Smith actually said there's more people leaving America than coming in, and I haven't really heard a whole lot of people talking about it. And the, you know, a second point was nobody's really credited Trump with funding the DOD. Nothing in the DOD has been affected by the shutdown, and it's been a long time since we've had a commander-in-chief that cared enough and was smart enough to do that.
Yeah, those are good points, David. I mean, he certainly has given the military, in fact, there was a lot of controversy about that, because he gave in those prior spending bills the military so much money. And I think that's probably why when he talks about declaring an emergency and taking funds from the military budget, there is money there that he could do that with. And, you know, as far as I think, wasn't that during Shepard Smith's program that the meeting ended abruptly and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Kevin McCarthy and others came out to speak, right? Wasn't that during Shepard's program?
Yes, ma'am, it was. And yeah. I will tell you that the military is behind our commander-in-chief in this. If he needs that money for the wall, we want him to do it.
Yeah. Well, good. You know, I hear you. I think you're right, David, and I think there's some good things happening in the American military to pull it back from the brink of disaster that it has been. I would be curious to know how you feel about Mattis stepping down. Any opinion about that?
To be honest with you, it's with mixed feelings, especially on the Syria part. We do have some friends over there, obviously, and they are definitely doing good work, but we just can't be everywhere at the same time. And I understand what he's doing. The reasons why, obviously, we're not really privy to, and sometimes you just got to trust your leadership. But Mathis did a lot of good stuff for us, but at the same time, they call him Mad Dog for a reason.
Yeah, the other thing that bothers me about him, David, is just his cooperation and actually pushing of all the social engineering. You know, he actually fought President Trump on removing transgenders from the military or not allowing them to serve. So those are things that, and he has kept in place these really radical leftists in the Pentagon. And so I find myself being glad he's gone. And let me just tell you, if you don't know, that John Bolton has been negotiating on a Syrian deal, and they have said they are not going to pull out of Syria until they have a deal from Turkey not to attack the Kurds, which I'm sure you're talking about. They are our friends over there, and people were just sick to think that we would leave them to be slaughtered by Turkey. So I think that that's being addressed. Just wanted you to know that. So anyway, we're off the topic, but thank you so much. I want to just say that Shepard Smith, of course, on Fox is a gay man who does not share our views on the world. And I don't trust him. I don't trust him not because he's gay. I just don't trust him because I don't think he's honest. So just thought I would mention that if you heard his commentary, anytime you listen to Shepard, you know, it's tongue in cheek because you can't trust him. That's all I can say. You can't trust him. Dory in Virginia. Good morning, Dory.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Long-time listener. I'm really excited to listen to your show every morning on the way to work because it makes me know that I'm not alone in my beliefs.
Yeah, you're not, Dory.
Wanted you to know that I tried to call the switchboard yesterday 4 times and stood on hold for about 5-10 minutes. Nobody answered. And then I tried to leave a message for Abigail Stamberger, and the phones weren't even set up. So very disappointed that you can't even call your representative to get your opinion heard.
Dory, did you call the local Spanberger office?
No, I called the switchboard up in D.C.
Okay, let me just advise you and everybody else again to call the local offices. Those phones are working. And when you call the local office, it has more impact anyway. It always does.
Okay.
Because you're talking to people in the office who live, of course, you're in Virginia, so a lot of people, you know what, it's a little different idea, but the people live where you live that work there, and it's just, you just have more impact when you call the local office. Yeah, there's no doubt there's sabotage going on, Dory. No question about that, so don't let them do that. Call the local office and give them an earful.
Okay.
Okay?
I thought calling the national switchboard helped, you know, make them know that the phones are going off the hook, but...
Well, there's no need. Do both. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
You did your part, and they did. Boy, I talked to the White House yesterday, right after the show yesterday, and, you know, the phone lines are ringing off the hook. I should have said that. So the phone lines, and you helped with that, Dory. But now, if to be really effective, call Spanberger, because she's, you heard me read her quote, I think, in Politico, didn't you, earlier, where she's feeling the heat? So keep it on.
Yeah.
Keep it on.
Good, because it was a really close election where we're in Richmond. So it was very, very close. I'm very surprised you pulled it out.
Yeah, so are we. And just really, just unbelievable. So stay after her. So, Dory, thanks. And thanks for listening. And be encouraged, okay? Be encouraged. Let's go to Kevin in New Jersey. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. If there were two things I would ask President Trump to do, aside from never capitulating, would be I would continuously run photographs of all the Democrats who have walls around their house, like Nancy Pelosi and the other ilk. And the other thing is I would never have a private meeting with them again. I would televise every single meeting with Schumer and Pelosi so that we get a chance to see, we already know, but so that the American public gets to see the children that are running this country from the Democrat Party. That's what,
you know,
I would do. I would just say, everybody, you're going to see the cameras.
Kevin, you remember that right before Christmas? I think it was right before Christmas when he invited them into the White House, and he did let the cameras roll, and they were appalled. You remember that meeting?
I exactly remember it. I'm on the president like a duck on a June bug.
Yeah. Well, so they did make fools of themselves and they had a fit. So now he's trying to, you know, respect them by giving them private meetings. But you're right. And don't you think that speech that they made after his speech just really revealed a lot, maybe for the first time, to the American people?
I can't believe that they actually let the cameras look at them the way they did. I mean, Schumer just looked like a cadaver. Looked like somebody was behind him, maybe moving his lips or something. It was amazing. All the fun that people have poked at him has been exactly right. I mean, the American Gothic couldn't be better for those two people.
Yeah, I agree. Also, people are really, hopefully, God willing, the blinders are coming off. We've been talking about how people are, you're being lied to. You are being lied to. They are master liars, but if they have to do long form, they don't do very well. Because that you can only sustain that kind of propaganda for so long. So anyway, I'm with you. Shine some light on who they really are. Let's go to Henry in Oklahoma. Good morning, Henry. What's on your mind, Henry?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, and I don't think I've ever heard it suggested, if we could have, if when we use National Guard overseas, how come we can't use those to secure the southern border? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, every state has a National Guard unit. How come they can't rotate them in and out down there or any port of entry where illegal immigration can take place? How come we can't use National Guard units that way?
Well, Henry didn't. The president did deploy troops. I don't know if they were National Guard troops. He did that, you know, in the last few months. But the I don't know. There were mixed reports on how effective it was. I think part of the problem was that they had all these rules that they couldn't do this and they couldn't do that, and because they couldn't do a lot of things, they could help Border Patrol, but Border Patrol were the only ones who could actually do the apprehensions and all of that. So there are rules that say what National Guard can do and other things that say what Border Patrol can do. It's jurisdiction. I think that's a good idea, but we'd have to change some of the rules if that has to happen. Thanks, Henry. Let's go to another Henry in Alabama. Good morning, Henry. Henry number two.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
And I wanted to thank you for your show, and I hope many people get to hear it. I am a cross-country truck driver. I've been doing it for 47 years. Been out in California when an illegal alien killed the 12-year-old girl on Fort Ord. Went back to Mississippi. I was in Huntington, Long Island, talking to the police where the MS-13 gang, there was a teenager that didn't want to be in that gang. They came on the basketball court with machetes, cut him to pieces. They raped a 15-year-old girl and hung her heart on a tree. So across America, we have a crisis. And the truck drivers out here, which there are 3 million of us, we're not all of us is behind our president, but many of us are. And we're sick and tired of the Democrats acting like children, refusing to help him do something that we think is a national problem, because we also had a truck driver who was of Hispanic heritage. I don't know if he was I know he wasn't illegal because he couldn't drive a truck, but he turned the corner with a tractor trailer, pulled the lady and her baby off the sidewalk, killed him. We had to chase him down and told him he was dragging a lady under the truck. So these type of things are going on in America and they're not getting covered by the news, and you're absolutely right. So I hope the American people will wake up and back our president, who's doing a wonderful job, because since he's been in office, they've done nothing but attack him daily. Everything he does is wrong. So we need the American people to wake up and get involved in what's going on in our country.
Henry, you know what? You're the second truck driver that's called me, I think, this week. You may, or maybe it was the end of last week. And I want to say to you what I said to him. I have found, when I was on the air in Chicago for so many years, a lot of truck drivers used to listen to me. And the thing that I observed was that they were some of the best informed people in the country. Because you guys are in the truck all the time and you're listening. And honestly, conservative talk dominates radio. And so you guys end up being some of the most powerful force. And plus, you're out there seeing stuff that, like you just described. So you are an absolutely valuable resource to all of us besides the work that you do, but also because of the citizenship, the responsible citizenship you bring to your role as an American. So, Henry, thanks. It's great to hear from you, and I appreciate the affirmation. And I'm just be careful driving, okay, because we need you.
Will do.
Okay, God bless you, Henry. All right, listen, thank you so much for listening. Be sure and call your senators. There are only two of them. And then call your congressman. There's only one of them. And they call their district offices rather than the Washington offices, and you will have more impact on them. Trust me. All right, so fasten our seatbelts. Here we go for the next round. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.